Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Third down and about a yard. Extra men on the rush. This one floating. Caught by Chase. And he is gone.
Not too bad, sir. But he's fine and pretty clean. Ain't no drag. Papa's got a brand new.
Here's one for Chase, a bottle, and he got it. That's Higgins in the first down.
Get to him now, but I can dig the new reason. He ain't no drag. He's got a brand new bag.
Welcome to the number one Bengals podcast. I'm your host, Daddy McDoug. I'm joined always by John the Brain Shear and Dr. Hoji the Electric Smudgy.
Where are we? There we are.
And the Cincinnati Bengals have got the new bag.
Bengals,
John,
got a brand new bag.
They've got the new quarterback. They've got a new running back. John, they are back.
Chase Brown.
Jake Browning. And John, wow. I mean, wow. What a show. What a show that this quarterback put on, yeah, on Monday Night Football.
Yes.
And
kind of crazy, right?
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah. Tell us how.
I called the win, but I didn't think that it was going to be like this. I didn't think it was going to be this extreme.
John, how is it crazy?
I mean, who could have seen it coming, right? It's not like any one of us thought that Jake Browning had this in him. Almost like the offense may have changed dramatically from the past week when Jake Browning was operating the Joe Burrow offense that works pretty damn well when he's healthy. And it's almost like a certain head coach was involved in maybe changing things up. And dare I say, Daddy-O, elevating a quarterback?
It's almost...
Is that possible?
It's almost...
He elevated him to the starting role.
It's almost as if Zach Taylor is a good coach. It's almost as if.
Or like I said, Jake Browning is not that bad. I've been saying it for weeks. He looked, John, against
he was
in
that
Ravens
bad
game.
Pittsburgh.
He was that
John.
Bad.
Pittsburgh, Joe Burrow has looked really bad against that Pittsburgh pass rush with our offensive line. And Jonah Williams has gotten dominated every single Pittsburgh. But look, I don't want to focus on the negatives.
Add one more little fact here. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, we look at Jake Browning's early performances, and they aren't great. And then, boom, A.J. McCarron joins the team. You get that veteran in there. He's talking to him. He's training him. And what you see is a McCarronized Jake Browning. And I would say give credit to the QB coach. What's his name? Patrick Dempsey? Or give credit.
Dan Pitcher.
Yeah. Give credit to your A.J. McCarron, who's there on the sideline saying, hey, kid, you know, when you go back, do this, do that, you know. So,
you know, it's not just A.J. McCarron. That, I know you're trying to be funny, but it's also Joe Burrow on the sideline, John. He very much, let's be honest, Joe Burrow is now calling plays, and all of a sudden the play calling got a lot better. But I don't want to get into all that.
He's not calling plays.
Okay, John, look, I just want to say something real quick. When you think of the perfect game,
I think he was probably gaming, not calling the game.
Yeah. Well, and his wrist is a little gamey, they say. Yeah. It's in that. Have you ever had something in the cast? It gets a little stinky. But
stinky.
John, here's the thing. When I think of the best possible game, that the quarterback could ever have. I think of something like, you know, I mean, they throw, what, 350 yards, maybe 85% completion, maybe a touchdown. They'd run for like 20 yards and run for a touchdown. And John, of all the quarterbacks in NFL history, this is not the cherry picks, it's that. I told you, that is a perfect game by anybody. Everybody knows that objectively. The first quarterback in NFL history to do that is Jake Browning. In NFL history, the first quarterback to pull all of those things off. What do you have to say for yourself?
Wow.
What? That is a lot. Incredible.
Like 60 feet.
Hold on.
If I may.
That,
if
19
I may,
meters.
If I,
yeah.
If I may.
Yeah.
John, I think you should maybe help Daddy-O by summarizing this article you wrote for A to Z Sports.
.com.
.com.
/ Cincinnati.
In which John proved conclusively that all of the things that Jake Browning could not do, Zach Taylor redesigned so that Jake Browning would be successful. And if I remember correctly from the article, this included him not being, what do you call it when the guy's alone?
Yeah.
Empty.
Empty.
Married. Oh, yeah.
No, not married, not bachelor.
Okay.
Empty.
No, no.
He didn't work from empty. Right. And also, you were talking about the part where the simpler plays. If I remember correctly, is that right?
I can explain this a lot more succinctly, Hoji, if you let me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Jake Browning was an empty personnel 12 times against the Steelers, which means he had no one in the backfield. The ball had to get out quickly. The ball did not get out quickly. He took some sacks. He made some bad decisions. They didn't have that at all against Jacksonville. They always had someone in the backfield. They always had like six guys in protection. So, yeah, quick decision-making. After the snap, not for you, Jake Browning. We're going to eliminate that. Play actions and screens went up from 25% to 45% this past game. The first quarter was entirely what? Just Ja'Marr Chase quick screens and quick passes. He had like five catches for 5 yards at one point. I thought his route tree was going to look like weeds at that point. His time to throw went down from 2.7 seconds to 2.3 seconds. Again, very little post-snap processing for you, Jake Browning. We're going to get the ball out as quick as possible. And again, play action bootlegs, rollouts, sprint outs, get Jake Browning out of the pocket, get him throwing on the move. That's one of his strengths. Do that. So the entire offense and the structure of the offense and the game plan and the play calling was completely changed for the benefit of Jake Browning. But I will say, all of this got him into rhythm by the time the fourth quarter came around. And when they needed to get into field goal range, he made two really good throws without Zach Taylor holding his hand to go from the boundary side of the field to the field side of the to the long side of the field and read that and read that backside dig to Ja'Marr Chase and put it right on him. That was impressive. He did that in a standard drop back pocket. He did that with pressure in his face. A great throw by Jake Browning that got him into field goal range. Hats off to him.
Hats off. And because the haters.
By the way, hold on, John. I want to say nice hats, first of all. I want to talk about the hat a little bit.
Yeah.
I love the hat. I love that it's look, it's got a nice empty space there. You can fill it in with whatever you want.
It's not empty.
Depending
it's got a logo.
On, there's still a lot of time before the elections. And I like that you left this space. Bring it over here, John. I want to sign your hat for you. I just want to put a little bit in the middle of your hat.
There's already a lot in the middle. Like you see this logo, it's a flying pig, represents Cincinnati. Yeah. This is what the hat represents. Like this is, it's already got something there. I don't know what you're talking about.
Love that. Yeah.
Going back to my point, you know, there's these Zach Taylor haters out there. And I think if there was one play that gave them the vitriol and ugliness that they needed, that play would be the flea flicker, the failed flea flicker where Boyd threw an interception. And I wanted to talk about that for a second, because if you look at the play, it's a failed play. But what would have and should have happened was for Boyd to take the loss of yards, and it wouldn't have been that bad. It's really when the ball is in Boyd's hand, Boyd is supposed to know not to throw it over like two or three people in the way he did and into the interception. That is not on Zach.
Well, the thing on the Zach, and I don't want to linger on this play, but basically the thing is Jake Browning was just getting in the rhythm. The Bengals were in good position. You don't need to take risks in that situation.
Yes,
but look,
I'll tell you why. He's taking pressure. This is why they do that. Because everything about the getting the running game more, putting Chase Brown in more, all of that was to take the pressure off of Brown.
But that kind of play, I feel like it turns the offense, gets it off rhythm. But John, I want to go back, like he said, Chase Brown, I want to go back to that. You were talking about the play calling. I agree. Jake Browning started with the barely throwing beyond the line of a scrimmage, right? He was playing very conservatively. He was playing exactly like you have a backup who's trying to hold on to a lead, for instance. He wasn't playing like a guy looking to win the game. And then he had that one big play to Jamar Chase, where Jamar Chase had to, you know, kind of turn and catch it one-handed. And then he had a big play to Trenton Irvin. And then he had a big play to Tanner Hudson. And then, right? And then he got a little bit of a rhythm. But before all of that, John, the running game was different this against Jacksonville. And I want to ask you why. Chase Brown was everything that we had said he would be, which was he was bursty. He was very bursty. He looked quick. Peppy. He was peppy. He's quick.
He's very small.
He's quick, not in the super duper kind of, you know, those tiny running backs who are like super fast, but quick in the, like, he's an upright runner type of guy.
Exactly. He kind of reminded me of Robin Williams. Robin's on stage, just fast moving,
fast, energetic, very hairy. John, and then Chase Brown was playing better, but let's be honest, he had some holes to run behind. The run blocking was better. I want to get your take. Is this the play calling? Is this what was going on? Why was it different? Was it a sense of pride? Because we saw Ted Karras and others were like, "Hey, we're not dead." We saw Orlando Brown. He had the comments. Right, where he went up to the camera and he called out the analysts who picked against the Bengals. That offensive line was not happy with how the team was being. So do you think that anger is what got them going? What happened, John?
I think they started calling more either zone plays or plays that had them kind of going horizontally. And I think combining that with a lot of rolling pockets, either sprint outs or, again, play action, bootlegs, where you just have horizontal movement from the offensive line in general. When you have both of those kind of working off of each other, it doesn't matter what comes first, right? It doesn't matter if you, quote-unquote, establish the run or if you come out swinging with play action and just passing in general. Once you get that movement established in the defense's mind and they have to read their keys a little bit differently, they got to take extra steps to get to the side. I think that created more opportunities for, you know, just creating holes for the offensive line. And when you have a guy like Chase Brown, he doesn't really waste any time. He just accelerates through the hole. And once you have him in a one-on-one situation with a linebacker or a cornerback, he's got the speed and elusiveness and even some strength in him to kind of force a missed tackle. So he only had 9 carries in this game. He forced 3 missed tackles. He had the long of 31 yards. So you're right. He was everything that we thought he would be coming out of Illinois, and like the perfect type of compliment to like a bruiser in Joe Mixon, which that is what Joe Mixon is now. Like, that's why he had those 2 touchdowns at the goal line. He can power through contact a lot better than maybe he used to, and he doesn't really have that, you know, elusiveness in space that Chase Brown does. So they complement each other very well now, and I think the combination of just horizontal movement from the offensive line, both in pass protection and some of these run calls, definitely benefited from that.
And let me use the opportunity, Daddy-O, to ask both of you a question. And it's a hypothetical question.
Sure.
I'm not believing what I'm saying here. But some of the Joe Burrow, and I wouldn't call them haters, they're just people who try to maybe put a little bit of a more realistic view on what Joe Burrow is. He's not the second coming or something like that. He's a human being. But one of the things that they've been saying about Joe Burrow is that what makes Joe great is he's got your T. Higgins, he's got your Jamar Chase. He's got this situation, even Tyler Boyd, he's got this situation where if you put any really good quarterback, any great quarterback, they're going to look awesome. And I was watching that game, and part of me was like, I know Jake Browning is good, but you got to kind of respect the fact that he's throwing to these guys who are amazing. I mean, T. Higgins would be a number one receiver.
T. Higgins
on
has
any
not
other
been
team.
That kind of factor this year. I mean, he had, what, 3
catches,
John?
This game.
He had 3
and
catches.
And the threat of Higgins, the threat.
I do think T. Higgins is great, but I think it's Jamar Chase who has carried the offense as far as receivers go. He's made Browning look better than he should. That 76-yard touchdown, not many players would, you know, can have that ability. I think that one-handed catch that got Browning going, that was an exceptional play. But anyways, John, the question I have for you is, look, Browning came says...
But what about my question, John?
Yeah, of course they elevate him. They help him. They support him.
But to what
him,
extent? To what extent?
With Browning, it's a big extent. With Burrow, not so much, because Burrow is incredible. He's the second coming. But what I wanted to say, John. Well, we can't get there. It is we can't do that on the show. Yeah, it's sacrilegious, John.
Believe is a very but, believe in the Believe Broadcast Network.
Yeah, it's
very,
actually they're evangelicals, run by evangelicals. Yeah. John, here's the thing. Browning comes out, he says, look, I don't want to be the guy who's known for having one good Monday night game. I have to string these back to back. I have to keep doing it. You know, one thing about Browning, by the way, I'm just going to say this as a tangent. Browning is a very proud man. He really believes in his ability. He takes himself very seriously. And my question is, John, how much is that confidence? How valid is that? Can he actually? I don't think he's going to put up 350 yards, you know, many more times this year. But can he play within his limitations, you know, and be turnover free for the rest of the season, or you know, something like along these lines?
I don't even know if it's bad decision making that Jake Browning suffers from. I feel like they don't trust him to see the field quickly enough. I think he understands, like, you know, what tight windows are and like where to put the ball and where not to. But in terms of just post snap processing, that's just something that he has to continue to develop, and it should develop the more reps that he gets. So.
That's what happens when you have a bad take. Where was the bad take? Bad take.
Believe is very serious. You guys got sacrilegious. And
yeah.
That's,
yeah. Sorry, John. They only have your address. I had to put an address for the show. I put John's address.
Well, the joke. But
John, here's the thing. Jake Browning. He, like you said, he has a lot to learn. Did you see that clip where he didn't even know the Who Day chant? Where they were like, hey, don't go. He's like, well, how do you say it? What is it?
Let's go get it. Who's singing for us? Check it out.
What is it?
Who they think?
Yes.
All right, here we go.
Who they?
Who they? Who they think will beat them Bengals? Who they?
That is incredible.
Hold on a second. Like, because there's a fine line between confidence and arrogance. And his daddy-o probably doesn't know this fine line. I will explain it to him.
Please.
So, like, arrogance comes off as confidence, but arrogance is not backed up by any intellectual background. You don't know what you're talking about, but you still, you know, express yourself in a very brashful manner. Confidence is being confident in the knowledge of what you know and then carrying yourself through that throughout your life. So with Jake Browning, I think the recognition of him not knowing what the Who Day chant was and taking the time and showing the vulnerability of asking what it was and then saying it with
his arrogance.
That is a sign. No, that's not arrogance.
Not
that's
arrogance.
Confidence. Right?
Confidence.
So, Jake Browning, I think, does carry himself with genuine confidence.
Yeah.
And of course, you want that in your starting quarterback. And I think there's with confident people, there is also this vulnerability of saying, hey, I don't know this, but I want to learn it so that I can carry myself with more confidence.
Yeah. And by the way,
I love it.
By the way, he's going to be on the show, and that's actually why Bridget's not here. She's trying to physically drag him onto the show. You can see in this picture.
That is our own Bridget Junkars.
Yeah.
Standing next to
him. And she's trying to pick him up, but he's too arrogant or confident to pick up. I mean, did I get it right, John?
He's a big boy.
Okay, let's move on to the Indianapolis game, John.
Colts.
Yeah. So the Indianapolis Colts, John, I was doing my research, and they have a couple of really good pass rushers. And I'm looking at their names here. It's the writing is a little smeared. You can probably just say them for us, John. They're pass rushers. They have good pass rushers.
Samsung Abukhan is one.
Samsung,
Abu Khan.
It's not a phone. Samsung.
Yeah.
DeForest Buckner, right? He was a 49er
back in the day.
Run.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Grover Stewart, another really
Gregory
good defensive
Stewart.
Tackle. Grover. Yeah, not what I said at all. But a very stacked, underrated defensive line. And that's kind of how Gus Bradley builds it, right? Gus Bradley, of course, as you know, is the defense coordinator. He's got a history with Joe Burrow and his family. So Burrow has always been kind of up and down against Gus Bradley defenses. But
He's harassed Joe Burrow's family?
That's not what
Could
I
you say
said.
That? Okay. Just
no,
keep going.
He knows them.
Because you said he's... Okay.
Yeah, so there's some of that kind of overlapping, but again, Burrow's not playing, so it'll be interesting to see how Jake Browning does under him. I would say, though, like, the Colts are not good at stopping the run. They're last in success rate allowed. We just saw a pretty solid performance from both Mixon and Brown on the ground for the Bengals. So if they want to have similar success on offense, if they can't run the ball against the Colts, it might be a long day for Jake Browning.
Yeah. Well, yeah. John, they you look at the Colts, and what I see in the Colts is a team, a franchise with a great history with quarterbacks. They had Peyton Manning, they had Andrew Luck. Then they got Harry Henderson, I believe. And then they end up with Garden Minishovel, Garden Minestrone, I think his name is.
Minshew. No,
yeah, it's Garden Minishovel.
And this guy, nice mustache, but that's about all we know about him. We don't really have a lot of data on him. Yeah.
I actually wanted to tell Bridget that if she could tell Jake Browning one thing, it'd be to grow the stash. That's the secret that the great quarterbacks have had.
So you're worried about facing this Garden guy?
Well, you're asking me for my thoughts?
Yeah, then, that please.
Really? Oh, wow. Okay. So, a few things about the Indianapolis Colts. Okay, number one, Dadio and John, you have a lot of experience with Hoji. I always think in the QB terms, right? And I've been, for example, a big fan of certain QBs, right? Like Derek Carr. I've always liked that guy. And there's certain guys I don't love. I'm not a big Minshew fan. I don't think he's great. But when you put Minshew, a mediocre quarterback, on a team with a weak receiving core, which is what the Indianapolis Colts have, I think it's beautiful, beautiful for the Cincinnati Bengals. Why? Because this sets us up for really doing our best. And then the second thing is that, from my understanding, I don't think the Colts have a good secondary. Yes, they're good at the pass rush, but they don't have a great secondary. So this thing where we like to attack with the pass, I think it's setting up a match that favors us, the Bengals. And I think what you're going to see is 27-14 Bengals win, decisive victory. I think this is going to be a key win for the Cincinnati Bengals. I think that the Colts have been pretty lucky. I mean, when you're playing teams like the Patriots, it's easy to win. But when you're playing the Cincinnati Bengals, it's not going to be so easy.
Yeah. Well, now you guys want to obviously know my prediction. And look, John, I don't know if you know, but the Colts are 7-5. They've won 4 straight. That is good.
Who could have guessed that? Who could have told you that?
Right. I don't know. But here's the thing.
He must have gone to the library and used those cards and then found the magazines.
Actually, yeah, I went to the library. I used the cards. And then I talked to the librarian, who happens to be a Bengals fan at our local library.
That'll do it.
John, here's the thing. They have a great pass rush. The Bengals have not been good against teams with a great pass rush. They are on a roll. The Bengals had one freak Monday night game, just as Jake Browning himself admitted, because he's not arrogant. He will tell you. He had one lucky game. It's probably not going to happen again.
I don't think he said that, but okay.
Well, but anyways, for all these reasons, John, I'm going to go ahead and say it. The Indianapolis Colts are going to spank the Cincinnati Bengals. They're going to get spanked. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And the final score will be 27-14 Cincinnati. That is my prediction.
What? Wait, first of all, you just took my numbers. Second of all, what?
How kinky are you talking about?
That the Bengals will get spanked, but then also win by 27?
So some people, I mean.
Yeah. So here's the thing. I can't believe I have to explain this. Okay, so. Who do you spank? We all know it's the best form of discipline for naughty kids. What do you give naughty kids? It's the holiday season. You give them a lump of coal. Coal is the greatest resource on earth. We all know that. What is a great resource for a football team? Victories. The Indianapolis Colts are going to gift the Bengals a victory, and in that way, they're going to spank them.
Wow.
There's no universe where that makes sense.
It's a stretch, but I'll take it.
It's not a stretch. It's.
I'm running out of predictions here. Okay.
You know what this is like? This is like when two teams commit a foul, and so they cancel each other out. We'll let it go.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, John, if that's all you have, that's all I have.
It's not all I have.
2019 okay. Colts.
It's not all I have.
Oh, we forgot John's prediction. 2019 Colts. Okay. All right.
No,
I have one more thing.
Yeah.
I have one more thing.
No Cole.
Okay. I would like people in the YouTube comments to write in the comment section. Okay. How do you think the Bengals will do throughout this season with Jake Browning and with Burrow on the sidelines? Your opinion must have changed watching this last game. But be realistic. How do you see things unfolding? Is it play? Are we playoff bound? Or is it just a few freaky games we're going to win? That's my request. And thumbs up. Subscribe. Yeah. Yeah. Turn on the notifications.
Most importantly, support the show. Patreon.com/DHSports so that we can get Bridget back. She doesn't do the poverty shows. No. She only comes to the big shows, the glamorous
shows. High rolling shows.
Yeah.
John and I have not been paid in years, really.
Years. It's really a travesty. I am very upset by that. But all right, with that, John, I will have to say, don't forget to turn on notifications. Don't forget to check out John's articles on A2ZSports.com/Cincinnati. And we'll see you next time. Oh, don't forget to check out Dr. Hoji's recipe book. He has a new cookbook coming out. It's a very gross cookbook, but
yeah. We'll talk about vegan foods.
See you next time. So long, sweetie pies.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.